Peter was fond of his Uncle Bertram and had no wish to hurt his feelings or to be thought ungrateful. But there were some things a chap had to tell his uncle when the time came. It had come now, for Peter was getting on a bit. He was already into his 8th year. Despite rehearsals of the scene, he was still tense when he reached the drawing-room door and paused with hand upraised to open it. His mongrel dog Scram was at his side as usual, but being less inhibited did not pause. Aware of his young master's infirmity of purpose, the dog clawed fiercely at the bottom of the door and whined. It had its effect. Another door opened, and Peter's Aunt Gloria came into view with the foreboding of a thundercloud. "Peter, did I hear that wretched dog scratching the door?"
"Yes, Aunt Gloria, and before I could stop him. He knew it's wrong. I've told him."
As if in confirmation of this, Scram moved to the further side of Peter, hung his head and thumped his tail. "As you should know, Peter, I strongly disapprove of the dog's going into the drawing room. I will take charge of him. He can go down to the scullery, where he belongs. Your Uncle Bertram is arranging the Christmas cards and certainly will not want a dog roistering around." As if summoned by the words, Bertram opened the door. A genial, middle-aged lawyer, he was young at heart, with a sense of humour that his sister Gloria classified as childish. "Was that you scratching the door, Gloria?" he asked in suitably shocked indignation. Gloria did not deign to reply, but Peter predictably giggled.
"It was Scram, Uncle Bertram. Can I come in, please? I've something important to discuss."
"What's the trouble, Peter?" Bertram poured himself a drink to start the evening. "Broken window?"
"Oh, no, Uncle Bertram, nothing like that. It's about Christmas. It's about Father Christmas. I'd rather you didn't dress up as him this year. You see, I'm no longer a kid, Uncle, and I wouldn't like the chaps at school to know that you dress up and all that rot, as if I still believe in Father Christmas at my age."
Bertram mastered a smile. "No, of course not. Actually, I only do it to please your Aunt Gloria, you know. She's a traditionalist." He had not heard the door behind him open, so Gloria's sudden comment startled him.
"Traditionalist? Well, really, Bertram, of all the silly excuses for your childish love of dressing up."
"We were discussing Christmas, Gloria, dear, and wondering if the time had not come, perhaps, to abolish it."
"Abolish it? Really, Bertram, I do hope you're not filling Peter's head with your usual nonsense. I think we owe his mother a duty in her absence to bring him up as she would wish, and not as a free thinker, or more aptly, as a free non-thinker."
Peter shuffled uneasily. When Aunt Gloria discussed him in this way, he felt like a shuttlecock awaiting the next directive slosh.
"I was only suggesting to Uncle Bertram that now I'm getting on a bit, in years, as the saying is, he needn't dress up as Father Christmas."
"What I would prefer to do, as a Christmas role," said Bertram mischievously, "is to play the part of good King Wenceslas, who, if you remember, looked out of his window when the snow lay all around."
"Deep and crisp and even," chanted Peter.
"Quite so. And ask a passing beggar in to share our cosy warmth and Christmas fare." Gloria took a deep breath and held it. She was still counting when Peter said,
"Would you really ask an old beggar in, even if he were ragged and dirty, Uncle?"
"Well, of course, especially if he were gathering Christmas fuel, such as paraffin and brandy. I'm quite sure that if a beggar or tramp did wander around our garden, breaking branches off the trees for Christmas fuel, your Aunt Gloria would not fail in her Christian charity. She would direct him to the Citizens Advice Bureau and advise him on how to apply for supplementary benefit." It shocked Peter, and he turned to his aunt.
"But wouldn't you ask him in at Christmas?"
Gloria hesitated, but only for a moment.
"Of course I would, Peter, if he were genuinely in need. It is a season of goodwill to all men. He could have some warming soup in the kitchen."
"My dear Peter, of course your aunt would ask a cold and hungry beggar indoors and welcome him, and bring him soup with her own fair hands. A plate of mince pies, his own Christmas pudding. You could hand him nuts and figs, and I'm sure Scram would lick his boots if he spilled some soup on them." Peter's reaction was wholly unexpected. He gave a jump. He clapped his hands. His eyes sparkled.
Yippee! Gosh! It'll make my Christmas. I'll get him.
There was a hush. Get him, said Gloria. Peter rushed to the door.
Yes, he's in the garden. I spoke to him only a few minutes ago. Gosh, get the soup and mince pies on, and I bet he'd like some of your rum punch, Uncle.
And before either could speak or move, he was away on his goodwill mission. Wide-eyed with horror, Gloria turned to Bertram.
Go and stop him. This is frightful. Before we offer him hospitality, we must know what manner of man he is. I'm not having a dirty old tramp possibly running alive with fleas sitting on my furniture. I never suspected for one moment, and I hope you didn't.
Would I ask a lousy tramp in?
With your sense of humour, perhaps.
Then perhaps because the brain operates at high speed in a moment of desperation, Gloria suddenly realised that Mrs. Gummidge, their daily and household treasure, might be able to rustle up a hamper or plastic bag of mince pies, Christmas pudding, and other delights to be eaten off the premises. In the kitchen there was the delightful savour of Christmas cooking. Mrs. Gummidge was up to her elbows in it, aided by her niece Nellie.
Me? Busy as I am? Get up a Christmas parcel for that dirty, foul-mouthed tramp? Oh, I sent him packing. It's not food they want, but money. For booze.
Easier in mind, Gloria returned to the drawing room and gave Bertram the good news.
Well, we shall have to play down the Christian Charity Act, Gloria.
Act? It was no act. Any reasonably dressed beggar would be welcome.
Goodwill to all well-dressed men. Actually, if it would make Peter's Christmas, we might apply to one of the large stores. They probably have a rent-a-tramp for Christmas service. Guaranteed, recently bathed, smelling of aftershave lotion.
Bertram, that is quite enough. Here is Peter.
And Peter's expression told them that he had not found his tramp.
He'll have put a special chalk mark on our door, he said miserably. Warning other tramps, it's a no-good joint with flint-hearted meanies.
Peter, really? That's not fair. You must learn the difference between people who can be invited in and those who cannot. But we are not flint-hearted. Now, bedtime, Peter, dear. Run along. Good night.
That Peter was right about the chalk mark on the gatepost, Gloria had proof the following day, and in a mood of mingled shame and indignation, she rubbed it out. It was, Bertram told her when he heard about it, ill-advised. For now they were no longer out of bounds. How right he was, she suddenly learned on Christmas Eve. It was as she was descending the stairs to put the last small presents on the Christmas tree that she saw Peter approaching in the hall. Peter was not alone. He was accompanied by a tramp. The tramp wore a battered felt hat, and from his chin sprayed an off-white beard. Between his lips was gripped a clay pipe, blackened but not smouldering. Draped about him was a fur coat of some kind, fur outwards, and piebald with what could have been engine oil.
Aunt Gloria, he was coming up the drive. He said there was a chalk notice on the gate which said, Wayfarers welcome. And look, he's tied newspaper round his boots and he's got another paper to sit on.
There seemed to be a strong smell of disinfectant and aftershave lotion, but with so much to smell and look at, Gloria was not sure of anything.
Bertram,
she called in strangled tone, as if she were going down for the second time.
Bertram came from the morning room and halted.
Ah, friend of yours, Peter. Welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Gov,
said the tramp.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
He tugged at his hat, which was irremovable.
Not many true Christians about. Lot of talk of goodwill and that don't amount to nothing. But it's the younger generation, that's what's made the difference. Got kinder hearts. You got to admit it, lady, when you was young, would you have asked the likes of me into your daddy's house? Go on, of course you wouldn't have dared. But these young'uns...
He put a mittened hand on Peter's head, tousling his hair in affection. They're different. And it was Gloria who winced, not Peter.
I've got some rum punch. You care for some? Asked Bertram.
Lead me to it, mister.
When Mrs. Gummidge came in carrying a tray on which there was a bowl of soup, a plate of ham, mince pies, and Christmas pudding, the tramp was on the sofa in merry mood, warmed and inspirited by rum punch.
And you mean they chucked you out just because you wore ragged clothes and had muddy boots?
That's it, sonny. That's a bad old days for you. Even yesterday, the daughter of a duke asked me in, and there we was, a-chatting, me eating caviar and sipping champagne wine, when her old dad comes in. Art, he says, but it took 2 footmen 20 minutes to do it.
Wish I'd been there, sighed Peter. Don't you, Aunt Gloria? Auntie, are you all right? You look pale.
Here, have some rum punch, urged the tramp, offering her his shaking glass, which spilled the stuff around freely.
In desperation, Gloria did try the rum punch, and it worked wonders. To say that she was inebriated later on would be unfair, but she broke a glass, trod on the cat, and giggled at 2 of Bertram's jokes, things she did not normally do.
There was talk of his staying the night, but Bertram went to telephone and managed to get him in somewhere.
I'll give you a lift there. Will you come for the ride, Gloria?
She decided against it and held back Peter. It was his bedtime.
Cool. Glad to get this thing off, said the tramp, sitting in Bertram's car.
He whipped off his hat and the wig and beard with it and mopped his cheeks.
Very good bit of acting, said Bertram,
producing the agreed fee.
I look forward to seeing you a lot in the panto. Should be good.
The actor grinned. I enjoyed it. And here's 3 tickets for boxing night. You mustn't miss it. Local rep, but good.
It was the most wonderful Christmas Eve ever, Uncle Bertram, Peter said when Bertram went to say goodnight. A lovely Christmas present, and gosh, aren't I have something to tell the chaps, eh? I bet none of them had a Christmas tramp. Wasn't it a miracle? I heard a whistle in the garden, went out, and there he was. It might have been meant.
I don't suppose we'll ever see him again.
Perhaps on boxing night, said Bertram, confident that neither Peter nor Gloria would recognize the tramp as Mother Goose.